May the Lord help us to commence the solemn worship of God today with hymn number 527. 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
Thank you. Our Bible reading this morning you'll find in the first book of Samuel. The first book of Samuel, and we'll read chapters 21 and 22. One Samuel and chapters 21 and 22. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behaviour before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth, and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, And they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold. Depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hareth. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait, as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honourable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn, and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou, and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Let us leave the reading of God's word there, and may we each be granted a spirit of real living prayer. most holy. Ever merciful, all-powerful Lord God, once more we have been favoured to gather together on this thy day, and may we do so this morning with thankfulness in our hearts, that thou hast not rewarded us according to our iniquities, that we have not been cut off as our sins deserve, but that the door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. And so we gather before thee this morning, and as we have come and assembled together, thou knowest how we have all come. Whether there has been prayer and desire, or whether there has been silence and indifference, whether we have come hungering and thirsting, and with that desire to honour and glorify thy name, or whether we have just come because it is what we do. Lord, if there are those that are far off from thee this morning, do draw them by thy irresistible grace, so that they may be given those ears to hear, those eyes to see. They may be given that new heart, mind and will, that those that are dead may be made alive. And for those that have come with that true desire to worship thee, we pray that through our gathering together, through the singing of thy praises, through the reading of thy word, through public prayer, through the preached word, we may today have our affections drawn unto thee, the one true and living God, and may be able to worship thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, may we not just know a gathering of people, but may we have the felt sense of thy Spirit with us, leading us to a precious Christ. May we not only worship outwardly, but worship inwardly in spirit and in truth. For we come with that one thing in common this morning, whether we are old or young, whether we are seeking or whether we are indifferent, we come as sinners before thee. And we have to prove that through another week of our short lives, we have sinned and come short of thy glory. Much that we have done which we should not have done, much that we should have done which we have not. Lord, we come and we pray that we may have that right confession, knowing that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. So this morning, may it be that there may be known in our midst a true day of worship. Worship the triune God, where we may for a season be able to look away from the troubles of this life and look to thy word, look to thy dear Son, and know that peace that passeth all understanding. For we live in uncertainty in so many ways. Help us to seek that which is certain. We live where we have to prove the hearts and desires of all people are in thy hand. And may we find peace in that knowledge, that not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Lord, we thank thee for the freedom that we have at this time to gather together where no one can lawfully oppose us. We can preach the whole counsel of God, thy entire word, without fear. And yet, Lord, we know not how long these liberties will be maintained unto us. And now, as we have a new prime minister, a new government that will govern us, and we know not what the coming weeks, months and years will bring, help us to be prayerful, to be exceedingly vigilant, to be active, but not to be fretful. For we know, Lord, that kings and rulers will be raised up and will be cast down, but that the King of Kings will never change. And so whether our government will give us liberties or take them away, whether we may be given more freedom and will turn closer to thy word, or will have restrictions placed upon us and will turn away from thy word, thy people know that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Lord, we pray that we may know what it is to rest in thy will, to rest in thy perfect pathway for thy people, and to be given grace when things seem to be against us, to know that for thy people all will be for their eternal good. So may thy hand be seen upon our new prime minister. May thy hand be seen upon his cabinet. And may, Lord, we marvel at how thou art working. And yet, Lord, we mourn that godly men and women who have stood for that which is right in the past term of Parliament have been removed from office. Lord, do be with them as they may ponder their future and worship thee today. We pray, Lord, that other godly men and women may stand for that which is right, may stand as those lone voices against the tide of iniquity in this nation. And do be with those organisations in the coming months that will seek to hold our government to account. May they be given that great help in doing so. Have mercy, Lord, upon us, we pray. In wrath, remember mercy. And Lord, do, we pray, not forsake us. We do not deserve thy goodness, but we plead thy mercy still. And Lord, do, we pray, be with this church and congregation at this time. We pray for the deacon here this morning. Do help him and his loved one. And as they have had this time away, may it prove to be for their good. And as they have returned, Lord, do give them strength as they take up their duties together. And do be with him and each one in the church as they labour for the congregation and people here. Lord, bless them, we pray. Give them that godly increase in the church. Do supply their needs with a living ministry here as this time comes to make engagements for 2025. May thy goodness go before them in this way. And we pray for our dear brother the deacon who is unwell. Do be with Benji, help him in his time of need and pain and suffering. Lord, do grant that healing if it be thy will. Grant that submission to thy will. And may he prove that whether in sickness or in health, whether in pain or free from pain, that thou art near. So do bless him, Lord, as he would have been here if he could, and as he is detained at home and as he may be listening in, may he be given those ears to hear, and others also that would be here if they could, but are unable to be today, may they hear likewise to profit this day. But do be with all before us, young or old. Lord, may thy goodness go before each and every one. We pray for the old and afflicted that know that their natural strength is beginning to fail. Lord, do grant them patience, grant them submission, but grant them above all that knowledge that it is well with them. And as they draw near to the latter parts of their life, that he will be well when called to die. Lord, we pray for those in the middle of life, in business, in employment. Pray for mothers and fathers. Lord, and each and every one, whether married or whether single, Lord, do be with them all. Supply their every need, and those with children, give them wisdom to bring them up in that right way. And as the lures and attractions of the world are so great to every one of us, we pray especially for the children and young people, that they may be kept in that narrow way that leads to life eternal. And that they may see in the days of their youth those doors of providence being opened before them. But above all, in the days of their youth, that they may be found seeking after thee. May they remember their Creator, may they fear the Lord, and may they look and live. Be with each and every one, those that have taken exams, those that may be awaiting those results, those that are wondering what the future will hold for them. Lord, do guide and direct them, we pray. And provide for them those right partners, we pray, at the appointed time. And Lord, where those relationships have begun, Lord, we pray that they may be not be led away by the way of the world into thinking of the shortness of relationships and just looking on the outward. But may they be given eyes to inquire whether they are those that are godly, boyfriends and girlfriends, that will be suitable for their entire life. So be with the young people, we pray. Be with the Sunday school, help them and the teachers as they seek to instruct the children and young people. May thy goodness go before them in this pathway. We pray for all those that preach the word today, Lord, wherever it may be. We pray for those that we know and love for the truth's sake. To be with our brethren as they labour today. May they be given that liberty and power from on high. We pray for those that hope to take up those pastorates in the coming year, Lord, to be with them in it. And we pray for our brother Tim Parrish as he hopes to journey to the United States in this month with the prospect of going there in 2025 with his family or some of them. Do be with them and bless them, keep them and go before them in the untrodden way. Do raise up others, we pray, to faithfully preach the word at the appointed time. But Lord, we do not deserve thy goodness upon us as churches, and we pray that thou wilt turn us again to thy word, to thy truth, and that thy goodness may be poured out upon us once more. We pray for the persecuted church throughout this earth. How many there are today that will gather in great fear, Lord, we cannot imagine. So do be with them. And Lord, we give thanks that even in the times and nations of persecution, there is a great increase in the one true church. And Lord, should those days of persecution yet come upon this land, may we prove, Lord, that even then it will be for the good of thy one true church. But Lord, as we as a people here gathered in these four walls meet today, may we not worship the building, may we not worship the preacher, may we not worship anything other than thee, the one true and living God. May we know the power and presence of thy Holy Spirit in our midst, giving us those ears to hear, giving us those words to speak, giving us that union and fellowship one with another, giving us, Lord, everything that is needful for us today. Thou knowest that which has been laid upon us. Help us to be thy messenger with thy message. Be with the people too, that they may be freed from distraction, that they may be given that calmness of mind and that absorbent heart, so that today profit may flow for thine honour and glory. Lord, instruct us, teach us, bless us, go before us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise and dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes, so that today we may say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. We know we're unworthy, Lord, of the least of thy goodness, but we plead thy mercy. Lord, be merciful to us each and bless us unitedly together today. Forgive everything we have asked wrongly. Make up in giving where we do fail. For we ask all in and through the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 157, 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
Please to help us each this morning as we gather around his word. And I'll ask you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalm 52 and verse 8. Psalm 52, particularly the first part of verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I'll reread again from verse 6 as we haven't read this psalm. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. The heading of this psalm, as you will see, is to the chief musician, Masculine Psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. That is that portion that we read together in 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22, where David had taken refuge, had come to Ahimelech the priest, had sought bread, sustenance, and protection and weapons. And yet, in it, that wicked man Doeg had seen him. And as we read in chapter 22, from that, he told Saul what had happened. And Ahimelech and the majority of his family, the priests, and that place of Nob, all the inhabitants, were destroyed. And so it is in this context that David wrote this psalm. And we see in this psalm, the first five verses really, the rashness of the wicked. We see their desires. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. We see that the wicked, their desires are not heavenward. They are not right. They are looking for what they can get for themselves. In verses 6 and 7, we have really the reaction to the wicked of the godly people, the righteous. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. And you know, we can be like this, can't we? We can look at the wicked. We can look at the situation about us, and we can be overcome with a fretful spirit over everything that is against us. And we wonder, has God lost his strength? When God gives us those eyes of faith, like David, like the righteous, we are given the vision to see that all they are seeking is foolishness, that which will not last. But those that take their strength from the Lord are what we have in verses 8 and 9. They are those that are like a green olive tree in the house of God. Now, it seemed a strange phrase to me when I read this psalm. A green olive tree in the house of God. Why did David choose this analogy, a green olive tree? Why didn't he choose other things to describe himself? Like a beautiful lily, like he does in other places, or like a cedar of Lebanon, which is great and mighty. He said he's like a green olive tree. And where I've been working recently, they've got a multitude of olive trees that they are selling. And there seems to be a real desire for people to purchase olive trees at the moment. But there's nothing special about an olive tree. The leaves are not particularly green. The trunk and the branches are gnarled, and especially the older ones. And they're nothing to look at. And you know, in considering this, does that not describe those that trust in the Lord? They do not view themselves as being anything beautiful, anything special. They do not view themselves as being mighty and great? For the spirit of the Lord's people and those that trust in him is not about them, is it? It's not about what they look like. It's not about how great they are. That's where Jesus pulled the Pharisees apart, isn't it? You know those Pharisees, they walked about. They looked great. But they had, I can't remember the phrase that they used. But in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus speaks about those Pharisees, he says, doesn't he? All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries or the edges round their garments. They make to look beautiful. They love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But David didn't see himself like one of these Pharisees. David saw himself like a gnarled and twisted olive tree. No beauty outwardly. Have you been taught that spiritually? Have you been taught that you are nothing and have nothing in and of yourself? Or are you still a Pharisee? Are you still one that binds the heavy burdens upon others and thinks that you are okay because of what you look like? David knew he was nothing other than in Christ. But David knew he was like a green olive tree. But as we consider the olive tree, and as David considered himself as being like that olive tree, why are olive trees gnarled and twisted, and not much to look at? Because, like the Lord's people, and like David, those trees experience many storms, many harsh conditions, many periods of barrenness, where the sun beats down upon them, and they are seeking water. And you know the olive tree, in pondering this and looking into this, olive trees can be fruitful for 300, 400, 500 years. They can still produce fruit. Why? Because they have known harsh conditions. And have you known that? Have you known the chastening hand of God upon you? David did. But where did it send David? It sent David to the house of God. It sent David nearer his Lord. It sent David by faith to rest in Christ. I am like a green olive tree, gnarled and twisted, David said. But because of the buffetings, because of the harsh conditions, what had happened to David as that olive tree? And has it happened to you? The roots go down. Deep roots. Unlike Doeg, which we read of in verse 5, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The green olive trees, those healthy olive trees, their roots go down. A lot of trees, their roots go outward and spread outwardly. But the olive tree, those roots go deep. And why do those roots go deep? Those roots, they seek something solid to hold to. They seek a rock or some solid substance in the ground that they can anchor to. Does that describe you this morning, like a green olive tree? Your roots have gone down. Through the storms and harsh conditions of your spiritual experience, so that they've gone down to what? To the rock, Christ Jesus. And those roots have gone down, and through the buffetings of Satan, and through those barren periods, those roots have wrapped round that rock, and they're now anchored round it. There's a solid foundation. The roots. But what are those roots in the spiritual experience of the believer? What are those roots? Are they not the roots of love? My thoughts went in looking at this yesterday to that verse in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. If our roots have not gone down and have entwined around the love of Christ, dear friends, if we do not know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, what are our roots anchored to? What is our hope for salvation? Are we indeed, as we have been singing of, are we looking to Jesus' blood? Are we looking to, and are our roots going down to Christ, knowing that he is ready to receive you? Are you looking to his bloody cross to appear? From your sins he will relieve you and dissolve your every fear. Looking to the love of Christ, that he has shed his heart's blood for your sins. That's where the roots go. But it's a painful thing sometimes in the spiritual experience of one another to get those roots down to the love of Christ. Because in our soul's experience, it can so frequently be the case that we try and work out our own salvation. We try and rectify our own pathway. We try and justify ourselves before God. And Satan can buffet us. And the Lord will ensure that we are stripped of everything that is of self, until the roots go down to the love of Christ. And to understand, therefore, that the love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. I am like a green olive tree, David said. But the purpose of those roots going down is not only to anchor, is it? They need water. And so the soul needs water. And David here, as that green olive tree, at this time of great distress and great trouble, when Saul was after him, when he just had a ragtag army of the various outcasts of society with him, he needed his God. He needed that one that said that he is the living water. He needed something. Like, dear, in the last words of Samuel Rutherford, where we have in that hymn, this is what he needed, wasn't it? Oh Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. David's roots needed to go down to the water of Christ. David's roots, as that green olive tree, needed to go down to something that would sustain him. Is that where you are this morning, dear soul? You feel to be gnarled and twisted. buffeted and tossed in the storms of life, both outwardly and inwardly. But is your root anchored on the rock Christ Jesus? Are you drawing water from salvation's well? But I am like the green olive tree. But to dwell a little bit longer on where those roots were. In the house of God. This was where David was anchored. In Christ, in the house of God. And I do love that Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph. For we read in that psalm, don't we? As Asaph looked around at everything that was going on in his life, and his faith had nearly failed, and he had to say, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What was it that comforted the psalmist in that psalm? When he looked about all his enemies and the wicked in the nation. We get to the middle of that psalm. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until what? In verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. You children and young people here this morning, you may look at those about you, whether it be in school or in your forms of education, your neighbours, your friends. You may look upon others and think, why do they have such an easy life? They can do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. They're not restricted like me by a book and the commands of God. And they seem to be getting on quite well, and they don't seem to have the struggles that the Lord's people have. And we can be like Asaph. And I can remember that. You think, well, why are they so successful then if the Lord is not with them? And why is everything going right? It's a natural thought. And until you and I, as it were, go into the sanctuary of God, until we are given an understanding of what the Word of God teaches, and until we have that new heart and those new desires and those new wills and seek after Him, we will be like that. We'll pursue the pleasures of the world. But when we see it for what it is, that it must all be taken away from us, when we see the foolishness of putting all our energy into something that we cannot take beyond the grave, until we see and know what it is for our sins to be forgiven in Christ Jesus, until we go into the sanctuary of God, only then, when we're in His presence, can we understand where they are going. They have their feet set in those slippery places. They are ready to be cast down into destruction because they are not rooted and grounded in the house of God. They are rooted and grounded in the world. But let's just emphasize this point. There is no merit in just being in the house of God. There is no merit at all and no strength at all in just being in the house of God. It is only as we are rooted and grounded in Christ, it is only as we are resting in Him for salvation, is there any benefit of being in the house of God. I am like a green olive tree. But to move on, we've looked at the roots of that olive tree. We have looked at the visible outward form of that olive tree. But what is the purpose of the olive tree? It is to bring forth fruit to the honour and glory of God. We have in the book of Judges that parable of Jotham, I think it was, We have in that strange passage in Judges chapter 9, we have the parable of Jotham, where he says about those trees and those trees that want to stand and to be over others. And in that parable, he said, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. What was the reply of the olive tree? But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honour God and man? The olive tree, the purpose of the olive tree is to bring forth fruit. And the purpose of the child of God that is rooted and grounded in Christ is to bring forth fruit. And this is why, dear friends, primarily David described himself here as that green olive tree. Because whether we like it or not, whether we feel to be producing much fruit or little fruit or no fruit, that is what the Lord's people are called to do. That is what they are called to do, dear friends. What did Jesus say? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Why? That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now it's a searching thing, isn't it, when we look at our lives and we say, oh well, are we really bringing forth fruit? Are we really being fruitful? But how does that fruit come? How are those olives harvested? Because there are those times in the cycle of the olive tree where it is calm, it is serene, and there is fruit on the branches. But there's a time when that fruit needs to be gathered in. And I imagine now, I don't know, I imagine they probably harvest an olive tree like they do many trees in that way, by shaking it. But how would they have harvested those olive trees in biblical times? They probably harvested them by beating the branches. Do you know what it is to have your fruit being harvested by being beaten? Not literally, obviously, but as it were, the buffetings of Satan. To know what it is for everything to be going against you. Like David here. What did it produce? It produced fruit. And what was that fruit? I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. This, dear friends, this fruit that David knew was faith, given to him by his God, that enabled him to trust in the mercy of God. And dear soul, that's what brings honour and glory to his name, isn't it? To know that we are nothing in and of ourselves. We have no hope of salvation but in and through the precious blood of Christ. We're trusting in the mercy of God. That we have no power against the enemies that are against us, the impossible situations that are before us. But we're trusting in the mercy of God. And it's the theme throughout the book of Psalms, isn't it? Psalm 25, verse 2. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And it goes on. Psalm after psalm after psalm, it is the same thing. Psalm 31. 13 and 14, I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Here is the fruit, dear soul. The trust in God and the profession of faith in God. I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God. Are you ashamed of your God this morning? Are you ashamed of the precious blood of Christ that we have been singing of? Are you ashamed of your only hope? Where's the fruit? I am like a green olive tree, David said, in the house of God, because I trust in the mercy of God. But for how long? Forever and ever. Think of dear old Abraham. He knew what it was to trust in God, didn't he? When he went out from his homeland, when he left all that was common and that he knew, the Lord spoke to him, didn't he, and say, Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And what do we read Abraham did? Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He went out. Doing what? Trusting in God. Trusting in the promise of that covenant that God had made with him, saying, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He went out and did that, which was uncomfortable for him to do. He went out and brought forth fruit for the honour and glory of God through trusting in his God. And that's what we see with all the list of the faithful in Hebrews 11, isn't it? What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's trusting in God's word. It's trusting in the promises of his word. And whether it was Moses, whether it was Abraham, whether it was Enoch, whether it was Noah, whether it was you, or whether it was me, there cannot be any fruit if we do not trust in God. That is why James said, wasn't it? Faith without works is dead. Faith without fruit is not fruit. There's nothing there. The tree may look fine, but there's nothing that brings honor and glory to God. There's no trusting in him. But the fruit of that trust, what does it do? The fruit of that trust, it brings submission, doesn't it? Brings submission to the will of God, knowing that what he wills is best. It enables the believer to know that, yes, although this is buffeting me and that is troubling me, as grace is given, they are enabled to trust in his perfect will. That it will all work out. But trusting in him will also give us that, submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil. Trusting in the perfect work of Christ and trusting in the armour, the whole armour of God that he gives to his people to protect us. That's a fruit, dear friends, as the believer is enabled to put on the whole armour of God and fight the good fight of faith. But dear friends, as with a natural olive tree, David said, I am like a green olive tree. There are those things that can destroy the fruit on an olive tree. There are those various pests that come up. The olive fly which can come and strike those olive groves. And if it is not treated, harvest comes, there's no fruit. Or the fruit is rapidly diminished. And there is a lesson for the believer. Because we may say, as one temptation or another may spring up in our heart, it's only a little olive fly. It's only a little thing. You know, this sin, this temptation, you know, it's not adultery, it's not murder, it's not fornication, it's not uncleanness. Maybe it's one of those other lusts of the flesh. Maybe it's one of those little olive flies, hatred, or variance, or emulations, the rising up of bad feelings, or wrath, or strife. Maybe it's just a little olive fly. That is where we need grace. That is where we need, by the power of Spirit, the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the flesh. To destroy those little olive flies before they take over the tree. Before they cause it such damage that no fruit is seen. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. But to return to the context of this psalm, this is what is amazing, isn't it? This is what is amazing. David was trusting in the Lord God when everything seemed to be against him. When there were just a few of them. When he had to feign madness. When he really didn't know where to go or what to do. He knew that his God hadn't changed. Yes, his circumstances had changed and everything seemed to be against him. It made David's roots go down deeper. It made David draw up more sustenance from his God. So he could say with the hymn writer, now I see, whate'er betide, all is well. If Christ be mine. And that's the point this morning, isn't it? All is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide. May he teach me to resign. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. That's what we need, isn't it? Above all, is that what you need this morning? The need that you need is the sound of the gospel. You need Christ to be yours. You need to understand, like the lines of that first hymn, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to that throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead, because you're not trusting in your own righteousness, You're trusting in the Saviour's blood. The Lord delights to hear them cry and knock at what? Mercy's door. 'Tis grace that makes them feel their need and pray to him for more. David was at that point where he was looking to his God. But not only just looking with a prayer and supplication, but looking to his God, as we just touch on verse 9, with praise. Praise in the deepest, darkest moment of his life, when he's seen the Lord's people destroyed, when he was just on his own with barely anybody to help him. What did he say? I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Oh, that's where I personally fail to bring forth fruit. When there's that which storms come up and twist and gnarl my bark and batter and buffet me, I forget that in it, the God of all gods, the one true and living God, is in control. And we should praise him forever, because thou hast done it. That's why Paul could say, wasn't it, in his epistles, rejoice evermore. In all things give thanks. Why? Because thou hast done it. And this morning, dear soul, I don't know what you're in, whether in your outward circumstances, whether in your soul. But one thing I know, the Lord has done it. And there's another thing I know, that the only comfort the sinner will get is trusting in the mercy of God forever and ever. And it's only in that trusting we can say with David, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. May it be so. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 7 o'clock, which Mr. Cottingham has kindly agreed to address. Mr. Gary Christie is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And after that service, there'll be a short meeting for those who kindly agreed to help with fire and first aid, if they're able to be here. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Philip Warren is expected to preach. And our friends at St. Ives hold their special prayer meeting on Wednesday evening at 7:15. Our closing hymn is on the hymn sheet. It's hymn number 723 with some additional verses. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity, joined with power, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. The hymn on the hymn sheet.
God, we come at the close of this morning's service and we know the need of thy dear Holy Spirit to apply and seal thy word so that we may be like those green olive trees, rooted and grounded and bringing forth fruit. So bless that which has been of thee in our worship this morning, and forgive that which has been of ourselves. Be with us through the remainder of thy day. Be with us as we come up to thy house this evening, if it be thy will. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.